Good morning, church. Today things are being done a little differently. Today we're not meeting in person and we're using technology to share with you this morning. Pastor Steve and I miss you, and we are praying for each and every one of you. We look forward to being back together again. Today's scripture comes from this week's lectionary. Let's read it together. This is Psalm 23, reading from the NRSV. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Before we bought the farm we lived on, before moving to Scotland, Steve and I lived in a little cottage in downtown North Augusta in South Carolina. After doing loads of research, reading dozens of books on chicken husbandry, and spending time with farmers who raised poultry, we bought our very first chickens. Two of them. And we named them Pris and Roxy. They were a tiny flock, but they were our flock. Pris and Roxy were Barred Rock chickens, the traditional black and white chickens with bright red combs. They were about 4 months old when we got them. So they weren't laying eggs yet. We had a little pen for them in the back garden, and we'd let them out in the morning so that they could free range and eat bugs and snails and lizards. We really, really enjoyed having Roxy and Pris. They had really interesting and unique personalities. You wouldn't think chickens have personalities, but they do. And these two girls were completely spoiled rotten. We would feed them leftovers like pasta carbonara, yogurt, bacon. Oh my goodness, they loved bacon. Chickens are definitely not vegetarians. One morning, while I was at the office, Steve texted me and said he couldn't find Roxy. She was nowhere to be found. We'd seen a hawk in our neighborhood earlier that week, and we feared she had been taken by the hawk. I left my office, drove home, and when I got there, we searched everywhere for her, and we couldn't find her. We were both so heartbroken. We felt terrible because we thought we had failed as caretakers of our little flock. One of our primary responsibilities was to make sure that they were safe from predators. Psalm 23 describes the Lord as a shepherd, someone whose primary responsibility is the safety and welfare of the flock, someone who takes care of every need of the flock, protects the flock from predators, and makes sure they have enough to eat. A shepherd keeps the flock together so that they don't get lost, especially when they eat, because sheep are notorious for nibbling and nibbling and nibbling themselves lost. The well-known Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann has written several books about the Psalms. And in one of them, called The Message of the Psalms, he categorizes all 150 Psalms into three buckets: orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. That is, Brueggemann says that the Psalms can be grouped this way, and the flow of human life characteristically is located either in the actual experience of one of these settings or in the movement from one to another. Let's look at these buckets. This is in your sermon notes. Psalms of orientation exemplify life or seasons as they should be. That's when everything feels right and we're content in our lives. Things are going the way we planned them. We're healthy and we're happy. Last week, Pastor Steve talked about holiness being an orientation, moving in the right direction. But a psalm that exemplifies disorientation is one that talks about things being dark and difficult, broken. There's lament, despair, and often self-pity. Now, reorientation is when God pulls us out of the brokenness of life and we're brought to a deeper sense of awareness and gratitude. These psalms affirm a sovereign God who puts humankind into a new situation. Where once there was only darkness, now there's light. What's interesting about Psalm 23 is that all three movements exist in this single passage. It's an entire cycle of human experience in six verses: orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. Now let's unpack this a little bit. In the first three verses, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his namesake." Life is good. The psalmist wants for nothing. All is provided, even lush pastures and clean, refreshing waters. At the beginning of 2020, it was a brand new year, a fresh beginning. We felt blessed, thankful, amazed by God's abundance in our lives. This is what Brueggemann refers to as orientation. All is well, or we thought it was anyway. In verse 4, the psalmist talks about walking through the darkest valleys, suggesting a time of disorientation, a difficult, dark time. I don't know about you, but to me, this time, right now, feels like a time of disorientation. We're watching the news, we're scrolling our Facebook feeds, reading the tabloids, and all around us, businesses are closing, people are getting sick and dying, the hospitals are filling up, our NHS staff are exhausted. The government shut down bars and restaurants because some folks still don't seem to understand the importance of social distancing. As we read this passage, it's easy to feel that this is a dark valley we're walking through and that there's no light at the end of the tunnel. We're sad and we're angry and we're showing our selfish nature by hoarding toilet roll, sanitizer, and canned soups and bread while our neighbors wonder where their next meal is going to come from. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death. The Hebrew word for shadow of death is salmawet. This word is mentioned 10 times in the Old Testament. Salmawet is used 7 times in the book of Job. We discussed Job at last month's Big Faith Bible study, Job's disorientation and confusion. He doesn't understand what he's going through, why he's going through such a difficult time. He's lamenting and his friends are trying to give him advice, but it's not very good advice. Salmawet, the valley of the shadow of death. Right now, it kind of feels like we're walking through the valley. But the psalmist goes on to say, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I am not a slave of fear. I am a child of God. Fear will not come into my household and rob us of our joy. Fear will not come into God's church and displace our peace with fear, because God is with us. And here's something we need to remember about shadows. If there's a shadow, there's a light source. And if there's a shadow, there's a light source. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are my light source, my beacon, my light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. John 8:12 reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. A shadow happens when something comes between us and the light source. When something has eclipsed the light, when there's a solar eclipse, the moon gets in between us and the sun. The earth is literally engulfed in the shadow of the moon. In ancient times, before navigational equipment, when sailors couldn't see the stars because they were eclipsed by the clouds, they were displaced, disoriented. And when in shadowy times we lose sight of the light of the world, we can become disoriented. Psalm 23 insists that we can trust in deliverance from the midst of darkness. Whatever preys on us individually, on our families, on our communities, we will not be defeated because God is with us. Imagine what life would be like if we truly believed that. Imagine what life would be like if we truly lived that belief. We are in a time of disorientation. It feels dark and broken. There's lament, despair, a time of isolation, a time when we are lacking. But we know that God wants a relationship with us. God wants reorientation with us, that deep relationship of trust and love. It's easy to tune God out, though, isn't it? We're so busy. We lead busy lives. We go to work. We work late. We meet friends after work. We meet at restaurants and pubs. We go to sporting events. We take the kids to football, ballet, piano lessons, school. We're busy. And it's easy to tune out that still small voice, that urging to come back home by a God who loves us, a God that persistently pursues us, the hound of heaven that never gives up. I believe that during this time of isolation, of disorientation, people are going to be searching for something that orients them, searching for something that fills that void in their hearts that used to be filled by going out and doing things that distracted us from that still, quiet voice. And I believe that during this time, revival is going to come into homes. It's going to come through phone calls from neighbors, from Skype sessions with family, from even Facebook messages and YouTube videos. I believe God is going to work through this time of isolation to reach those who prior to this were so distracted by other things that they couldn't hear God's voice. And if you're that person, hearing that sweet voice calling you, hearing that urge to have something in your life that matters, something that makes life worth living, it's so easy, friend. All you have to do is say, God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want my children growing up in a home without hope. I don't want to be without hope. All I want is you, God. God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his only son to take on the sins of the world and give his life so that we could have eternal life with him, so that we could have hope that there's more than just this world, hope that we can love our enemies as we love ourselves, hope and purpose in a world that's broken and sick and seems to be falling apart around us. God invites us to reorientation, to move Godward, toward God, toward holiness. Remembering from last week that moving Godward is not a destination, but a trajectory, an orientation. Reorientation is when our minds and our hearts are renewed and cleansed, and an intentional decision is made to live life in a more excellent way because we are made new in Christ. Verses 5 and 6 remind us that good days are ahead, that there is hope in darkest times. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Verse 6 in Eugene Peterson's Message version is especially beautiful. It says, "Your beauty and love chase after me." There's that prevenient grace, the hound of heaven. "Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life." Now here's the rest of the story about our chicken, Roxy. After searching for and not finding Roxy, I got back into my car and I drove back to work. About an hour later, I received a text from Steve that said Roxy had returned. Yeah, she was in the back garden dust bathing with Pris. Words cannot describe the joy I felt knowing that this little chicken, that our Roxy, was safe and back home. We figured out later that Roxy had reached egg-laying age, and she'd found a perfectly secret place to lay her very first egg, a perfectly inconspicuous hiding place behind a folded-up lounge chair leaning against the back wall of our house. It turned out that we weren't such terrible caretakers of our flock. And today, Psalm 23 reminds us that even though the flock we call our congregation is not gathering where we usually do, we're still in the care of the Good Shepherd. That even though we're traveling through dark valleys right now, God is with us. He pursues us with his grace and comforts us in times of uncertainty. We will pass through this valley. We will once again dwell in the house of the Lord together. We love you guys and we miss you so much. I wanted to share this with you. It's my mom playing "His Eye Is on the Sparrow," a song my grandfather used to sing in church. Have a blessed day, and we'll talk with you soon.